We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're here.
What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Corner Podcast. Kel Dansby here with the old man, Andreas Hale. Finally, it's time to talk boxing on our show to close out the week. Huge matchup this weekend here in Vegas. Terrence Crawford versus Sean Porter. Crawford's biggest test at welterweight so far.
It's
going to answer a lot of questions there. We also have to talk about Canelo now moving up to 200 pounds to chase a title. That was approved just the other day. And then we have all of last weekend to talk about. David Benavidez, Jaime Munguia, tons of fights to talk about that went down last weekend. But to start this off, Dre, did you see this last night? Drake and Kanye squashed the beef.
No, they didn't.
I mean, they're arm in arm. They're hugging. Dave Chappelle is there.
You ever had a family? Like, you have family members.
Of course.
You ever get in a fight with your family member and you hate them and your parents are like, hug now and everything's okay?
Sure.
Yeah, that's what happened.
That makes sense.
I don't trust for 5 minutes that it's okay all of a sudden.
So James Prince is the father figure in this? Clearly. Kids play nice.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, somebody else saw what I cheated. If James Prince wanted Ben Simmons back on the basketball court for the Sixers, he'd make it happen. And Ben Simmons would be shooting threes. That's James Prince. That's what he's doing. So I saw the picture and people were like, oh, yay, Kanye and Drake are friends again. I'm like, no, they're not. No. They've been friend of me since day one.
I love that James Prince is just on the right side of that picture, just like,
I mean, does anybody see something wrong with the fact that James Prince has to be in every picture because he's overseeing all of this?
Yeah.
James Prince is just like, all right, say it. Say it. I'm sorry. Say it. We're friends. You know, here's a question. Why is James Prince there?
I mean, he's everywhere with Kanye now, it appears.
But, you know, because he was cool with Drake.
Yeah, always.
From the Rap-A-Lot days. Yep. So it's like, remember when Pusha and Drake had beef? Who was there?
James Prince.
And what happened when James Prince
Drake,
got it? It was over.
Right? No more. Squash.
James Prince, it's not a coincidence that James Prince and Kanye were at the fight.
No.
James Prince is like, what you doing, Kanye?
Bugging out a bit.
I'm in Atlanta. He's like, you're going to the fight. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. I'll see you there, James. That's how that worked out. And now it's like, you got beef with my boy? Well, you know, Kanye talks stupid, whatever. Well, you know. Well, you're going to squash that.
ASAP,
yeah. You know Larry Hoover? You're going to do a podcast with him.
Yeah.
And so there's this thing in Toronto. Kanye, what are you doing? You're going to be in Toronto.
Yep.
Okay.
We're going.
Yep. Now, stand there and take a picture. Kanye doesn't even look like he wants to take a picture. He's just like, oh, man. Like, shit.
Clearly just being made to take the picture. Probably in between, like, photos, he, like, looks over to James, like, is that good?
Yeah, is that okay? Yeah, this is ridiculous.
Show more teeth.
I just don't trust Kanye to keep the peace very long.
Kanye, from day to day, just switches it up. Like, what he says today may not be what he says tomorrow. He might forget what he said yesterday. Yeah. He might make up something new tomorrow. On the Drink Champs joint, he was like, oh, I completely forgot. I just saw Talib, like, the other day. Like, yeah. He was like, oh, yeah, we just saw each other like a week ago. like, he doesn't understand time anymore. Like, no, it's a foreign concept to him. I think once you're a billionaire, though, like, what does it matter? Like, what do days matter at that point?
Nothing matters, right?
No, he just got a lot of time on his hands. The money is making itself at this point. So it's just like, what else do I have to do? Hang out with James Prince?
Yeah, stay alive. Like, don't mess with James Prince.
That's it.
Like, that's it. Don't ever say something funky about James Prince, or that'll be the end of Kanye West.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. He never goes against someone on your timeline. It's like, what happens when he starts dissing James Prince?
Yeah, I was like, oh.
Excuse me?
There's, like, Kanye's Wikipedia page will disappear.
Yeah, no. People do a lot of crazy stuff. Talking about James Prince is not
you
one.
You never heard? I mean.
No one.
And the beautiful thing is, because it's a boxing show and James Prince is in boxing, nobody messes with James Prince.
No.
James Prince is everywhere. Nobody says anything bad about him.
And his stable of young fighters is just growing and growing and growing.
I bet you they don't cross him.
Oh, hell no. No one's going to say anything to him. He's 10 years from now, he'll be Al Haymon. Like, because he has that many young fighters. And he'll just have a full stable, and someone will look at James and be like, yo, James, what are we doing? Like, do you want to be, like, a promoter? Do you want to, like, he just wants Al Haymon puppet master in the back? Again, smart move by Top Rank. Got in with him early, and he's at every fight with Bob. He's chilling. They treat him right. He'll funnel talent in for the next decade. Because people say whatever they want, and maybe, like, Bob is older and he's not cool to, like, a lot of young kids. You know who is cool? James Prince. You know who's cool to them? Drake.
Yeah.
Kanye. Migos. When James Prince is like, yo, you want someone to walk you out? Anyone. Name it. And they're like, all right, that's pretty damn cool. So kids will sign to him. Ipso facto, they sign the Top Rank. It's a smart person to pair yourself with. Yeah. Again, you can't do shady business with him, though.
No.
Shit will go left,
you know,
quick.
The fighters are saying, hey, I want to have, you know, Shakur says Migos, and James like, I'm going to make it happen. Now, what everybody doesn't know is, like, that comes with a price.
Yeah.
Whether it's respect, whatever it is, you're going to pay for it one way or another. So nobody crosses James Prince. The James Prince, Al Haymon story is very interesting. But, yeah, I don't trust Kanye to keep the peace forever.
It'll be interesting. The other Kanye thing I saw on your timeline had me even more hyped than the stupid squash and stuff with Drake. Someone posted on your timeline, great thread, what is Kanye's best beat ever?
Mm-hmm.
I got lost in this thread for like 15, 20 minutes. Because once you pointed out, they're like, yo, people don't know what Kanye produced and didn't produce.
No, I have a clue.
So like some of their favorite Kanye tracks, like, not really his beat.
Like, Devil in a Dude Dress. Nope, that was Bing.
Yeah, it's like, all right. You got to read the credits.
Down and Out. Nope. That wasn't Kanye.
Who did Down and Out?
Damn,
I like that beat, too.
I can't remember who did it. Wasn't Kanye.
What's your favorite Kanye beat?
I was a bit, like, I've always liked This Can't Be Life, because what Scarface and it's more what the MCs did on it, but okay. It was, like, one of the first times I heard a soul sample, a soul chop like that, on a very mainstream record. This Can't Be Life, Slum Village is Selfish, Gorilla Monsoon Rap, it's near the top of my list. Crack Music, I'm pretty sure Kanye did that. I might have to look. See, this is how bad it is.
I was about to say, yeah, I think he did that beat, right? He didn't write that
No,
verse.
He didn't write it. Rhymefest wrote it. I don't know if that's public information. Rhymefest told me that. But, yeah, I mean, everybody knows Rhymefest writes Kanye stuff.
Of course,
but
of course.
If I let the cat out the bag, whoops. But... Yeah, I'm trying to think what else is...
Get By is my favorite Kanye.
Get By?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he produced it, which is cool. I mean, Quali let everything out.
Ooh, Drive Slow. Drive Slow is also okay.
Ooh, Drive Slow is really good.
I mean, Kanye's got beats. It was just funny people naming beats, and especially as more... It's kind of like Dr. Dre, right? The further he gets in his career, the less that he does.
Yeah.
He just comes in, like, turns buttons. This is my beat now. And it's like, all right. Like, same with Diddy.
Pop's been doing that his entire career.
Yeah, let me turn this knob.
Yeah.
There is there's an interview with Slip Quali and Evidence where they talk about the making of Last Call because that's Evidence's beats, not Kanye's.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that interview, too.
And Evidence is basically like, he made it, and, you know, Kanye took it, and because he couldn't get the sample cleared, he got people to replay the instruments. And he said Evidence came in. They was like, they had to negotiate who produced the song. And Kanye was like, well, I made it. And Evidence is like, wait, what? And he's like, yeah, I twist some knobs here and there. Yep. And everybody's just like,
he's like, I changed beats.
Yeah.
The drums.
Yeah. He was like, oh, that's, you know, the 808 is a little bit deeper now.
Yeah.
But that's what happens to these guys. And people are like, people that said Last Call was their favorite Kanye beat, I was like, it's not a Kanye beat. And I knew it because I've been a big fan of Evidence for a long time. And Evidence is one of the most slept on producers that raps. And when I heard Last Call, I was like, that's not a Kanye beat. And I looked it up and I was like, oh, it's not a Kanye beat. But I see people like, that's a Kanye beat. It's like, no, it's not. So that thread was very fascinating because people were picking some of the great Kanye songs because immediately one of my favorites is Devil in a New Dress. And when people kept saying it, I was like, he didn't do that. Bink did that.
Yep. I mean, and Kanye, again, he has a great ear for beats. Like, yeah. He understands, like, what tracks he can make better, how he can make them better. I get it. But at the end of the day, that's why, like, throwing around the Genius label is a little odd. But I guess being a genius also is knowing what is great and what isn't great.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, man, Kanye is a great producer.
Yeah.
He's a terrible rapper. I will stand on that till the day I die. Kanye is not a great rapper, but he's a phenomenal producer. Another Kanye beat, You Don't Know My Name for Alicia Keys.
Ooh.
Incredible beat. Kanye understands music. And as long as Kanye stays in his lane, this is one time, like, shut up and make beats. Like, I don't want to hear about clothes. I don't want to hear about nothing. I don't want to bleach butthole. I don't want to hear about none of that. Shut up, make beats. He's really good at it.
He is.
I would say he's a genius when it comes to production. Anything outside of that, he's a moron.
I think he does well with the fashion stuff. I mean, I don't like that any stuff of his stuff.
There is nothing that Kanye's ever worn that I was like, yo, I got to get that.
Nah.
Not from own collection.
Red Octobers were dope. I'm not a sneakerhead. I was not paying that much for them.
No, it was ridiculous.
But I appreciate what they are.
Yeah.
And the first boot, the Yeezy, not boots, but the Yeezy, like, Boost-looking joints for Adidas. I don't know what they're called, like 350s or something. I don't know. But the joints that are like knit on the top, those are really dope.
Yeah, they're dope.
And then after that, it jumped the shark.
Yeah, what was it? They're like half Crocs.
Yeah.
Like, they're ridiculous.
Yo, but he sold someone the shell.
Yeah.
Of a shoe.
But this is cult following. This is celebrity culture. This is what it does. Nevertheless, James Prince, congratulations. You brought them together. I don't know how long it'll stay together. They're talking about, like, doing, I bet you they end up doing, like, a benefit concert for Larry Hoover. It'd be, like, Drake and Kanye. And the one person, the wild card in all this is really Pusha.
Ooh.
Because I wonder if Pusha just sits there and is like, man. And they'd be like, shh, don't you say that, Pusha.
I mean, didn't they ask him, like, oh, you signed, was it Pusha and Big Sean before he went on the rant saying, like, the worst thing
he
did was.
Yeah, that's when he crapped all over Big Sean.
Yeah, I feel like he's not on the best of levels with Push right now either.
Yeah, I mean, maybe. I mean,
Pusha seems like just a whatever type dude.
He's
like,
guy.
Yeah, so he's like, I'll do whatever. But, it's weird. I was like, yo, Kanye's everywhere. Just different topics all over the internet. I was like, God, it's Kanye overload right now.
It is.
Wouldn't be surprised to see Kanye at the fight this weekend.
I don't want to see that.
You know, quick flight from Toronto? No? Sit right next to you at the fight? Mm-mm. Oh, it was shenanigans at the fight. He fell asleep in Atlanta. I was watching the man sleep mid-fight. Like, didn't care. He was out. Just slumped.
Because he didn't want to be there. James Prince was like, you're going to come to this fight. And he was like, but James, I'm sleepy. Like, when your parents used to make you go to church as a kid, you just used to sleep through everything, but you didn't want to be there. That's what the fight was for.
It's a great comparison. Last thing to talk about on this opening segment was a Barstool Sports thing. I sent it to everyone in our group chat.
Yeah, Barstool immediately, red flag.
Yeah. All the red flag emojis.
Yeah, red flag. Barstool, anything with, like, black people, red flag.
They put out a list, the top 10 female singers of all time. Gotta be troll. But I loved it. I'll run down this list. Mm-hmm. I just want to see the disgust on your face.
Okay.
Number one, Mariah Carey.
No.
All right.
No.
Two, Whitney Houston.
She should be number one. First thing I say, if this is purely on talent, singing.
Singing talent.
Yeah, just singing.
Vocal talent.
There's nobody touching Whitney Houston.
Okay. This is what Mariah, Whitney, I feel like that's one and two, whichever way you want to go.
Sure, why not?
Vocal talent. Three, JoJo.
Throw the list in the trash. Get it out of here. JoJo's like, come on, man. JoJo number three?
I only know that one song from when she was a teenager.
She can
and that
sing.
Shit was hot.
The girl can sing. JoJo number three?
All time.
Like, come on. Keep going.
For Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga can sing.
Yeah.
But she should
be very recency bias.
She shouldn't be that high.
Five, Aretha.
Yes.
Six, Beyonce.
Okay. Keep going.
Seven, Ashley Simpson.
What?
I don't know.
Come on, man. That's so barstool.
I couldn't tell you three Ashley Simpson songs.
I'm just, as a vocalist? No. Keep going.
Did she, like, was she lip syncing on SNL and then just completely, like, blanked and did, like, a little crazy dance?
No, Ashley Simpson is not in the top 10 greatest singers of all time.
No,
that
that's
absurd.
Ridiculous. Eight, Tina Turner. Nine, Adele. 10, Addison Rae.
What? Okay. Talent. One person who should absolutely be on this list is Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, yeah. Jennifer
Hudson can sing just about anybody under the table. She doesn't make great music, but she can sing. Her and Whitney almost have the same problem. Whitney made a lot of great songs, though.
Oh, good. Caught yourself.
Yeah. No, but I'm
People
just saying, like,
for you.
Whitney's singing ability exceeded the quality of music she put out. It's really hard to get like to match those two things together. Adele's another phenomenal singer, but if you gave – it's funny because if you gave Adele's material to Jennifer Hudson, it would be even better. But the only thing about Adele's material is it's all, like, very sad.
Yeah. I mean.
It's great. She can sing.
A melancholy life.
Yeah.
That's good. That's her lane.
But Jennifer Hudson is one of the greatest singers of all time. There's a woman missing from this list that is absurd, and I could tell the age of the people who made this list. How is Celine Dion not on this list?
Oh, yeah. Celine got to be top five.
She is.
JoJo over Celine?
Yo, Celine got range. Oh. Like, Celine Dion is incredible. There's no way JoJo should be number three.
Ashley Simpson.
Get
you know
out
who's never sang a song? Celine Dion. She's crushing shit.
I've been to Celine. I went to see Celine Dion at Caesar's Palace. I took my wife, because my wife is a big fan. And I was like, I was in awe of the range that this woman still has.
Crazy.
Like, there's no way Celine shouldn't be on this list.
JoJo and Ashley Simpson.
It's like JoJo.
Addison Rae?
I don't even know why. Like, who? What? What? Why?
I don't know. Like, where do they see Addison?
Fantasia is another one who could be on this list. Fantasia is a phenomenal vocalist.
You know what? Something about her voice I don't like.
Well, it's very unique.
It
I
is.
I can see why
it
some
is.
People wouldn't like it. But
it's like halfway to Macy Gray.
If you put Addison Rae on the list, you're putting Fantasia on the list.
Yeah.
I mean if you're putting JoJo on anybody's list in 2021, you're completely neglecting that all these other singers exist.
Crazy. Like, there's so many. And I know I'm just forgetting about singers 60s, 70s.
I mean, there's Patti LaBelle. There's Patrice Rushen. There's Evelyn Champagne King. Like, there are
what's
the Chaka Khan. There's like...
What's the chick who was on Fire and Desire?
Oh, Tina Marie.
Tina Marie. Like...
Like, I mean...
What? In terms of singing? Come on.
Again, like, I've seen JoJo sing, and I'm like, wow, she's got a really sweet voice.
Yeah. She ain't no Tina Marie.
She ain't no goddamn Chaka Khan. She cut it out. Like, but this is Barstool trolling. And this is one of those moments where you go, there needs to be a black person in the room that's like,
no,
that's not
yeah.
it. Because even me as a black person in the room would be like, Celine Dion has to be on this list.
Got to be someone over 30 in the room. How
yeah,
about that?
That too. But Celine Dion, yeah, man, get this list out of here. JoJo number three?
You know what? I don't think Beyonce should be on this list.
Top 10 vocalists of all time? I could see her
I
landing on this list.
I think she can sing. She can make great music.
Brandy should be on this list.
Brandy can sing.
Brandy can sing.
Beyonce makes great music. I don't think vocally she's that amazing. She's not the top 10 vocalist.
She's pretty good. But I can see her a scenario where she's on the list. I can see a scenario where she's left off.
She ain't Chaka Khan.
No, she ain't Celine Dion. I'm going to keep going back to Celine. Like, and even Mariah Carey, number one, is suspect to me because Mariah can't, like, I know people enjoy that range and the high pitches that she hits, but there ain't nobody that's saying like Whitney.
No.
There's just...
I mean, Mariah's really close. The difference between Mariah and Whitney is Mariah can make songs and hits.
I mean, yeah, but...
Constantly.
But we're just talking about singing.
Singing, yeah. I mean, I'm okay with Mariah being over Whitney. Is that blasphemy?
Yeah, it ain't... No, I miss.
Mariah has crazy range.
I need to fight Barstool for leaving Celine Dion off this list. And Jennifer Hudson, man, go back and watch Dreamgirls. Jennifer Hudson is incredible. Great singers of all time.
Ashley Simpson?
Boo!
Yeah, that gives four thumbs down.
So, yeah, no, that was crazy, man. I needed your input on that. Because I don't, like, no way.
No, man. No way. You know, I love R&B. I love singing. I love soul singers. Yeah. And I love female vocalists. But never in my wildest dreams would I say, yeah, JoJo is one of the greatest singers of all time.
The third greatest of all time. Any era.
Who's drunk? Somebody was drunk making this list. And somebody's like, we should put JoJo on the list. And they were like, all right, that's through the cracks. There's just no way.
Yeah, there was like a 19-year-old in office. Like, yo, I love JoJo.
Yeah, no. Just go ahead and put Britney Spears on the list while you're at it.
Yeah, just play like 3 JoJo TikToks. And they were like, all right, she's on here.
Get out of here.
It's ridiculous.
Skedaddle.
Let's hit the break, come back, because it's a major fight week. We have so much boxing to talk about that we have to get into that. But we're actually going to start off by talking about Canelo. And he's going for history, and some people really dislike it. I don't know why. We'll talk about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Back right after this.
Hey, everyone. It's Lindsay Rhodes, and I've got a new podcast, The NFL Roadshow. Fun and kind of nerdy conversation about the NFL every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I've got some amazing guests that are joining me. I'll be breaking the huddle with the top stories, previewing games. We'll get you set for the weekend fantasy with our Fantasy Friday episodes, and we'll answer some of your questions as well. So subscribe to the NFL Roadshow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we are back. Time to talk boxing. Canelo Alvarez, first off, WBC had their meetings where they list out their rankings and make it kind of a spectacle now. Like, okay, these are how everyone's ranked in every division, 1 through 5 in the WBC. And then at the end, they name mandatories if it's time to name mandatories for belts. So during this point, We get the list. Everything's listed out, kind of how we knew Teofimo Lopez is a champion with the WBC. It is clear now, just like Loma would have been a champion if he would have beat Teofimo, he would have been undisputed. Teofimo has that same designation. He is undisputed champion. I just ask people, if Loma would have beaten Teofimo, would he have been undisputed champion? Yes.
Who'd you ask?
What do you mean?
Who'd you ask?
I've been asking around. Like, WBC said it. Like,
I'm just saying.
Going into that fight, it was for Loma to become undisputed champion.
It doesn't make any sense. Then why is Devin Haney the WBC champion?
I don't, because they gave him the belt.
Why?
Because they gonna Loma work didn't out fight a fight.
Yeah. Loma didn't fight Haney. They franchised Loma.
They're on two different channels,
I know,
networks,
I'm
promotions.
Just mandatories, I'm just mandatories. Loma didn't fight Haney. The WBC decided to franchise Loma, which was a bad decision in the first place.
Yep.
Haney gets the title. And then you can't go back.
Haney gets injured, drops the title.
But they gave it back to him.
Gave it back to him. At that point, they should have just gave it to Loma.
Hey, this is the
WBC.
That's
where they messed
doing.
Up.
This, yeah. this, like, this is not Devin Haney's fault. This is not Teofimo Lopez's no. fault. This is nobody's fault but the WBC's for making this very complicated.
Yep.
It shouldn't be this complicated.
It's not. But Teofimo's the franchise champion. His name is listed above Devin Haney.
What does that even mean?
As it should. I don't know what it means.
Like,
it
if
means
I'm the
you
WWE
beat the guy who was the guy, but there's someone underneath you who we gave the belt to who hasn't beaten anyone.
They should have called him the interim champion then, right? Devin.
Oh, hands down. He should have been
the
interim
champion. They blew it. This is a disaster. So that's why I won't say he's like he should be undisputed champion. But as WBC, you got to play by your rules.
Yep.
You make these nonsensical rules, you got to live and die by them.
And they made the rules that said he is the franchise champion. He is undisputed.
This is dumb.
It's ridiculous.
This is really dumb.
But he beat the guy who was the guy. He, granted, same promotion, he had the shot. I don't know if Devin might have done the same. So what can I say about that? But Devin, to this point, hasn't beat anybody.
Yes.
Of note. And he hasn't been impressive beating anybody. His resume to Teofimo's resume is completely different.
Doesn't matter. He has the belt.
Everybody got a belt.
No, he has what the WBC calls their title. Their WBC championship belongs to Devin Haney. They made a franchise championship.
It's ridiculous.
They messed this up. Yeah. This is the only reason, like, Teofimo Lopez, yes, he should be undisputed champion.
What they messed up even now, what they messed up at this meeting, is not declaring that Teofimo and Devin have to fight.
Yeah, that's it.
Because they can make someone a mandatory, even though they have fights coming up, and then you can just blow your mandatory status if you lose. But make them the mandatory. The winner of Devin and JoJo has to fight Teofimo Lopez.
Yes.
And he could have cleared it all up. That's yesterday. It. Wasn't done.
No.
But during that meeting, we did get Canelo Alvarez. Well, really, it was Eddie Reynoso. Shows up. What's up? Does the victory lap. Everyone's like, oh, he's just here. Like Floyd was there. It's like, oh, he just really wants to, you know, show out. Hey, you know, trainer of the year, back to back. Like everyone thought he was just there. Maybe get that little trainer's belt that they give away. Nope. He stood up in the meeting. I was like, oh, by the way, my fighter, Canelo Alvarez, would like to be the mandatory challenger to the WBC title at 200 pounds, cruiserweight. And then WBC was like, yeah, sure. Like, cool. What? Say less. So Canelo, when he returns in May, as long as everything's healthy, there's a mandatory title defense already for the champion there. But as long as everyone gets through that fairly healthy, looks like Canelo's going to be going for his fifth world championship in a different division. There's never been a Mexican-born fighter to hold titles in five different divisions. He'd be the first. I love the move. We talked about this at the end of last fight. When I was like, yo, I think he can pull a Roy Jones, go up, and cherry pick one of these cruiserweights. Because they're, if we're being honest, not as tough as fighting a Bivol, a Bitterbiev. The only thing you got to overcome is size. Because they're not as skilled as those other two guys. And I think they made the right move.
He's fighting the WBC champion, Makabu. And Makabu's like 25-2. I've only seen him fight like once.
Yeah, he seemed pretty decent. It's two losses, though. Both knocked out. Yeah. Got knocked out.
Look, man, I've said this for years now. Canelo's not here to fight people for no reason.
Yep.
If you got a belt, he wants it. If you don't have a belt, he doesn't care. Like, people, I've seen people immediately go, oh, he hasn't fought David Benavidez. Why? I know you want it.
Yep.
But David Benavidez, he could have fought Canelo.
Could have.
If he stayed off the nose candy and kept his weight right.
The weight is the bigger problem.
Well, I'm just saying both of them. Like, he lost the WBC title the first time for test positive for cocaine.
Yeah.
The second time he lost it was for the scale. Canelo would have fought him.
Yep.
People like, he's ducking him. No, he's not. If he had a belt.
Plant would have never had that belt, right?
Yes. If.
Or no, they just let Canelo fight for the vacant belt. That's what
it was. WBC was the Callum Smith fight.
Yeah.
Vacant, and they made him a mandatory.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
They just threw it in.
Yes. But that's Benavidez' fault. It's not Canelo's fault. Canelo said, I'm going to be undisputed. Canelo said, I'm going to fight everybody who has a belt. Fought everybody who has a belt. Undisputed champion. Now, people are like, well, you should fight David Benavidez. And Canelo's mind, he's like, I can always fight him. He's not going anywhere.
No, he's like 24. Got nothing but time.
So, but I want to make history. So I'm going to go fight for another belt. And people are being very critical of Canelo not cleaning out the division. He did. He's a champion. He's undisputed. I know David Benavidez is there. But he doesn't have a title. Canelo's going to fight for this fifth title. And guess what? If David Benavidez becomes the interim champion, Canelo might go, I'm going to come back and get what's mine. Yep. All this, there's a few things that are about to happen. As we enter the new year, Canelo's going to watch Triple G's fight very closely.
Oh, yeah.
With Murata. He's going to watch that extremely closely. He's already seen what David Benavidez could do. And now he's got this cruiserweight. This doesn't mean he's definitely going to take it. Chances are he probably will. Now, should he take it in May? There's people saying, maybe he should take it not in between the May and September fights. My problem with that is,
that's a quick turnaround.
What are y'all trying to do with Canelo and his weight? He's not going to fight at 68 against a 200-pounder. He's going to beef up, and then he's going to have to lose the weight.
No pun intended.
Yes. And then he's going to have to go back down, whether it's to light heavy or whatever it is. That's what end up doing Roy Jones in.
It is. The drastic cut after Roy.
Yeah. Like, he couldn't, after he went all the way up to heavyweight to fight John Ruiz. He came back down to fight Antonio Tarver. He looked sluggish.
Yep.
His ego got in the way and said, hey, fight him again. And it was like, dog, you're not the same. This weight cut has affected your reflexes. And then he got knocked out. Yep. Roy Jones has never been the same again. So if people asking Canelo to make a quick turnaround, I'm like, And I know people are like, you give Canelo a lot of breaks. Not, I'm just being realistic.
Yeah.
You know what the man wants, and he wants world titles.
There's a reason why he's not fighting in January or February. It's because he's going to take these 6 months to get his body right to fight at 200 pounds.
Why? But crazy thing is, like, why are y'all being so critical? The man just fought four times in a calendar year. Nobody at that level does that.
people are like, he's ducking Benavidez. Ducking what?
He yeah, he's not ducking
four
Benavidez.
Champions.
Like, he beat all the, if you had a belt, he
or
was
three
coming
champions
for it.
And a mandatory.
Yeah, if he had a belt, he was coming for it. He made it very clear what his intentions are. Benavidez was on that list, he would have fought him too. But now we're going to be critical because he fought four times in a year. How many times did Floyd fight four times in a year? How many times did Manny fight four times in a year? How many times did your favorite pound-for-pound fighter, Andre Ward, Sergey Kovalev, Gennady Golovkin, they didn't do it.
Yep.
Canelo did. And it's not like Canelo, the only fight that was the Yadirim fight, was like, oh, okay. And that was,
it was a mandatory.
Yeah, he fought a mandatory, yeah. Got him out the way so he could get another title. So what are we doing complaining about what Canelo's doing here?
My favorite part of this is that it ends the dumbest Canelo narrative out there. And that is Canelo doesn't fight black fighters.
This is another dumb one.
it's the worst.
I've sat here and listened
it's
to this.
It's the worst narrative in boxing.
I've listened to this. All right. Canelo fought Floyd. Canelo fought Arisandi Lara. The only name that people keep bringing up that he hasn't fought is Jermell Charlo. The problem is they have not been in the same damn weight class.
Yep.
It's the reason why they haven't fought. And people was like, well, he ducked it when he was his mandatory. That's not what happened.
Yep.
I've said this like 10 times. That is, he was never declared Canelo's mandatory. Because if he was,
he
Canelo would have probably fought him. That's not what happened.
And people are like, oh, well, he should have stayed at 160 longer.
How are you going to tell the man who's squeezing the 160 to stay there
even
for
if he's
fighter?
Not squeezing? Listen, he just felt more comfortable at 168.
And look what he's doing.
And he ran through everything. He was right.
And then at 68, y'all tell me who the black fighters are at 68.
He fought Jacobs already.
Yeah, like, he fought Daniel Jacobs 2 years ago, and y'all complaining that he don't fight black fighters? What's wrong with y'all?
Like,
he fought Austin Trout. He fought Arisandi Lara. He fought James Kirkland. What are y'all talking about?
He fought someone else too. Yeah, like he fought anyone who's in front of him. Like Shane Mosley, I think.
Yeah, he fought Shane, but the only person y'all keep bringing up is Charlo. And y'all keep acting like Charlo's this world beater, and I was like, I don't see it.
No. Especially if he has to. The craziest thing is people are like, he's gonna fight Charlo. He's never going back down.
No, Charlo.
So now Charlo's gonna come up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how well his power translates to 160 yet. Because it didn't look like he landed some clean shots in his last fight, but he wasn't like dropping people. So that's going to be tough against Canelo anyway.
Right.
And then at 168, oh, y'all giving Charlo way too much credit.
It's like y'all being goofy, man. Like Canelo is he's the breadwinner. He's the champ. And y'all telling him that he needs to go seek out challengers to fight?
And he said he wants to fight three times. Who's to say he's not going to go cruiser, September, come back down, take some time to get his body back, and cut down to the weight. September, Benavidez at 68. Or it'd be smart to go September 175 and just kind of work your body back down, like, incrementally. So if he fights, like, a Bivol who might have two titles at 175, go there and then set up a December fight. Or a January fight against a Bitterbiev and clean out a whole nother division.
Then
go back down to 68.
I just don't get what people want him to do. It's almost like Floyd. I hope if you're critical about Canelo, you have to be critical about Floyd.
Oh, hands down.
Right? Like, Floyd was the breadwinner. Floyd chose who he wanted to fight. And people are like, well, he fought people past their prime. Whatever he did, I hope you have the same energy for Floyd that you do for Canelo. Because Canelo's actually fighting people in their primes.
Yes. The best of the best.
Callum Smith in his prime.
There's no Andre Berto's. There's no Robert Guerrero's. There's none of that.
Billy Joe Saunders in his prime. Arisandi Lara in his prime. Gennady Golovkin in his prime.
Twice.
So what are y'all talking about?
It's at this point, I could argue Canelo just hit his prime this year.
He's 31.
He just hit his prime.
Hey, y'all complaining?
He got four more years of his prime.
And then you're going to say, well, if he beats Charlo, it's going to be something else. Y'all just not going to stop complaining. Y'all did the same thing to Floyd.
That's how we know he's great, though.
Exactly.
It's because all of the complaints.
Keep crying.
And then the only other things to talk about, last weekend's fights, before we get to the big fight this weekend. Last weekend, two huge upsets overseas. Baumgartner beats Harper, and Kid Galahad gets KO'd by
Kiko Martinez. Knocked him in the next week.
He was dominating Kiko. In the beginning of that fight, and then
it was supposed to be an easy walk for Kid, and Kid got knocked out by Kiko.
Yeah,
the Baumgartner fight is interesting because you know we're working to trying to get an undisputed champion because Mikael Bayer just got two titles, and Baumgartner showed up late.
Yep,
and it's like it was funny because when I saw her and I was like, wait, she fights, right? Like, I was like, oh, Okay.
Yeah.
And she went over there, and she hit her and unplugged her life.
Oh, my God. My favorite thing about Bumgarner, she talks shit. Like, yeah, real. Greasy. Like, and but when I saw her in the ring, I was like, oh. Second round, it took me.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, no, she's legit.
Yeah, Terry Harp could fight, and she got.
The punches were so crisp and, like, down the middle. There was no wild swing. Everything was so calculated. The right hand she hit Harper that turned her lights out came over the top of a lazy jab, and bang, and she pulled it back so quick, Harper didn't know what happened, and then just froze.
Yeah, she just got stuck. She was stuck. It's like somebody hit the pause button.
Yeah, then the ref was like, oh, no, this is over.
Yeah.
And stepped in because it was a wrap, and I was like, yo, this. And I had Harper at, like, 6 on my pound-for-pound list. We do at ESPN. I was like, oh, I guess.
Hey, you know what?
Baumgartner's moving right up into this.
Hey, black women are coming up, man. Jessica McCaskill.
Yep.
Baumgartner. You got Clarissa.
There's women's boxing in a 10-year span has gotten so much better. The depth is incredible. The next 10 is going to be serious.
Yeah.
Because Clarissa's amazing. And she's to go out, like, to championships. But we're going to get the first wave of women who've been doing this since they were like 6. Because there's Olympics now, there's a path for them. They're pros, they signed to promotions. We're going to get that next wave of women who's like, nah, I've been boxing since I was 5 years old. And like, gyms let me in there and my technique is crazy. I've been sparring since I was like 8. And then it's like we saw in MMA, Ronda was amazing. We got that first wave of people who've been doing this since they were like 10.
Change the game.
Ronda couldn't do nothing. It was like, yo. It was a whole different level. So I think I love this influx of talent into women's boxing. And then we had Jaime Munguia beating Gabe Rosado.
Good fight.
Great fight.
I don't know if Jaime's ready, man. He won the fight pretty cleanly, but at 60, I'm curious who they pair him with next.
Well, at the WBC meetings, coincidentally,
they
laid out his next two fights.
Who they say?
Derevchenko, as long as he wins in December, it's going to be tough. Yeah. He's on the tank undercard.
Yes.
Derevchenko is amazing. Those two are fighting next February. The winner of that becomes a mandatory, and they have to fight Charlo before the end of the year.
If it all plays out, that'll be good. It was a good fight. Rosado is just, he's tough. If Rosado was a UFC fighter, he'd beat Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
Because he fights everybody. He doesn't beat them all, but he comes to fight.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And listen, he almost landed that same crazy knockout punch, missed, and he was like, ooh.
It was traps all night.
Yeah, and he's a smart fighter, and Munguia, you know, navigated that and took the win. But, yeah, these next two fights, like, Derevchenko's no joke, so we're going to find out about Munguia real quick.
Yeah.
Because the power better be real if you think you're hurting that guy.
It's pretty good.
So we'll see real quick for him. And then the other fight, David Benavidez. I mean, had a late replacement. Kid was game, but Benavidez beat him up. They just walked through him like it was nothing.
I want David Benavidez to fight Charlo. I've said it from the beginning. I posted it on Twitter, people lost their mind. They're like, oh, Canelo would counter him. I was like, I know what you're trying to say, but I'm telling you, this is the kind of fighter who can beat Canelo.
Yeah.
Not saying he'll do it, but you have to have that mindset. Yep. Everybody who's fought Canelo freezes.
His chin better match up, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's been put down, but
that's the key, because his defense is not great. His head is on a line. He's going to throw 30-punch combinations, and something's going to come back.
Look, it's all true. I'm just saying the style, like, you can't be Caleb Plant. Yep. You can't be Callum Smith. You can't be Billy Joe Saunders. Yep. None of them can beat Canelo. You have to be somebody that throws punches from all kind of angles and can win rounds by outworking Canelo.
Yep.
Because Canelo is economical with his punches. It's the only way to beat him. I'm not saying David could do it. I'm saying it's the style.
Yep.
You throw his hands, and people like
Triple G.
They looked at the Porky Medina fight, and they was like, well, you think Canelo's just going to stand there? That's not my point. My point is that he throws like 12-punch combinations.
Yeah.
And yes, Canelo could counter him, but what if Canelo doesn't? What if Canelo slips a couple rounds? That's how Gennady Golovkin fought him.
Yep.
He's bigger than Gennady. He's faster than Gennady. He's not stronger than Gennady. Gennady was a killer. But that's the style that you have to have, where you just don't care and you're going to throw hands. If you get hit, you get hit. Gennady got hit by everything from Canelo.
Yeah, the chin held up. Yeah, that was the difference.
None of this mattered.
No.
So if Benavidez can stand up, because what people don't know, David Benavidez sparred Gennady Golovkin when he was like 18. And he stood up to all this. Abel Sanchez told me, he was like, that kid, he was fat. This was David, was a fat kid.
Yeah.
He was like, everybody, Kovalev, hits him with everything he's got. And he was like, nobody could put him away in sparring. He's going to be the real deal. This is 10 years ago. So that means David Benavidez was
like 16.
This is 9 years ago. So David Benavidez was like 16. he's the one that could do it, but I'm not saying it's going to happen. I think Canelo still should be the favorite, but that style, and then people are going to go, well, why does Canelo fight him? Because he doesn't have to.
Yeah, there's no belt yet.
If he gets the title, then he'll fight him, but chill. Benavidez is 24 years old, relax.
Benavidez representation was at the WBC meeting, said he wants to come back in February, and WBC did not make him mandatory, but they said he can fight for the interim belt, which is a step closer. So I don't know who he fights on that list. I still want him
to fight Caleb Plant. I still want that fight to happen, but Caleb's not coming back that soon.
No, and then that's tough. That fight has to happen still.
It does. They have real beef.
Yeah. Real
beef. And I think, to be completely honest, I think David Benavidez might be better suited for 75.
Yeah, I mean, he has troubles making the
That's what I'm saying. Cost. So if you're killing yourself, you go to 75 and you win a title at 75, you're getting the Canelo fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's the easiest way to get the Canelo fight.
So you go to 75, you get a title, and Canelo's like, all right, I'm coming to get it.
Those titles aren't easy to come by, though.
No, they're not.
I mean, Bivol's tough.
Bivol, Benavidez, they're all tough fights.
Yeah, it's not easy. Who's the other one? Joe Smith?
Yeah, well, Joe Smith, you can get out of here. Yeah, I think David Benavidez watches Joe Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Joe Smith is about to fight, I think, Jacobs or someone. I don't know.
Whatever.
For that title, like, going forward. So that division has to work its way out while Canelo's doing other stuff. So Canelo's playing this smart. He's playing chess, not checkers.
Yeah, he's going to get his fifth title. He's going to beat this dude.
How everything else plays out.
Yeah, he's going to be like, all right, who's got another title for me?
Yep.
I'm coming to get him.
Belt collected.
Man's over here making history, man. Y'all got to relax.
Yep. So, no, I love the moves there. Let's take our final break when we come back. So much to talk about. Crawford-Porter fight week, our official predictions, talking about what happens if both wins. What's next if Crawford wins? What next if Porter wins? What happens if they lose? There's so many dominoes falling in the welterweight division because of this. So we'll touch on all of that when we get back after break. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Pelé leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie Adu?
Soccer is going to explode, and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
All right, we are back. Time to talk Crawford versus Porter. Big fight this weekend here in Vegas. Still early in the week when we're recording this. I haven't been on that end of the strip yet to see how we're vibing. But there's hardly any hotels available in this city. There's a lot of people here. The fight, to my knowledge, no inside baseball or anything, is doing pretty well selling tickets. There's a big energy around this fight. I think a lot of people have been waiting to see Terrence Crawford tested at this level. And Sean Porter, whether, you know, win, lose, draw, he's given everyone their toughest fight so far. I mean, him and Errol were damn near neck and neck until he got caught with a flash knockdown and then hit the deck for a second, got up, and he was upset, went to the corner. Damn it, because he knew, like, that's the difference maker. Thurman fight, similar. Like, he gives all of these guys problems. So now, I mentioned Terrence, like, man, this is his toughest test. This could be the one where you look at Sean and be like, oh, he's right back in the mix.
Oh, yeah. Full disclosure, Sean Porter is a friend of mine. So I don't want people to get mixed up. I like Sean as a person. Doesn't have anything to do with how I'm picking this fight. But the fact of the matter is, Sean's never been in a fight that he didn't like and that wasn't fun, and they didn't give his opponent hell. And this is exactly what Terrence Crawford needs. People looked at a lot of fights, the Keith Thurman fight, the Errol Spence fight, which is what we all want to see. But if we want to learn what Terrence Crawford is made of, you fight Sean Porter.
Yep.
There's nobody else that fights like him. And, you know, I've seen people's like, well, you know, Sean's a roughhouser and, you know, he doesn't have much technique. All those could be true.
Nothing wrong with that.
He's not fun to fight, but everybody else has fought him. So if you want to figure out how good you are, like, there's two ways this can go. Terrence Crawford wins a narrow decision and you go, all right, cool. He's right there with Errol Spence. He's right there. Like, they're right there.
With Keith, yep.
He blows out Sean and you go, well, shit. He might be close to the number one pound for pound fighter of all, you know, right now. Or he loses. And you go, wasn't as good as we thought he was.
Yep.
As for Sean, no matter what happens, unless he gets knocked out, no matter what happens, I don't think anybody can argue with that man's resume. Now that Manny Pacquiao's gone, and you obviously Canelo has this impeccable resume, Sean Porter arguably has the best resume in boxing. In terms of he's fought everybody. He's fought your Dennis Ugas, who just beat Manny Pacquiao.
Yep, beat him.
Beat him.
He has a win over a champ.
He fought Kell Brook when Kell Brook was still Kell Brook in his prime.
Yep.
He fought Danny Garcia, beat Danny Garcia. Gave Errol Spence hell like no other fighter has. Fought Keith Thurman. That fight could have went either way.
Yep.
Ran over Andre Berto. Ran over Pauly Malignaggi. Like, he fought Devin Alexander when Devin Alexander was a champion.
Yep.
If you're going to fight somebody that's fought everybody, it's him. This is a hell of a fight. I'm kind of surprised that Sean Porter is like a, last time I checked, is like a plus 400 underdog.
Yeah, that's a little too much.
It's way too much.
Because we know what Sean is and how close he's been in those other top fights. And at 147, we're still figuring out what Bud is.
Yeah.
And people are like, he fought no one at welterweight. Like, let's be real. He got there in 2019. Yeah. So it's like, chill out. Like, it's and there was a pandemic. So we're now 3 years into the division. He really didn't fight during the pandemic because you can't bring up the money enough to kind of make him fight. So he lost probably 8 months. So he's had 2 years and 2 months, and he's had five fights in that time. That's not bad.
No.
And he's fought names, whether you like them or not. He fought his mandatories. You know, we just saw what he did to Kell Brook. Okay, well, Kell Brook's washed. Well, I don't know what to tell. Amir Khan. Oh, he was washed. All right, I don't know what to tell. Like, he's fighting the people in front of him, and now Sean is the next one in front of him. And, again, if Bud wins, Sean's never been stopped.
No.
You say what? He's never been stopped. So if Bud is able to stop him, I don't think he knocks Sean clean out. But it got to be with a barrage of punches to have the ref step in. I'm not sure, like, Sean's going to let it get to that point. Because, like, he knows how to protect himself. He knows how to make it ugly. He can weather the storm, get back to corner. He shows that he recovers very well. He's in amazing shape, great condition. So he's a tough guy to get out of there. And I look forward to seeing him test Bud. And then if he can pull this one out, like you said, he was close against everyone else. One round in the Thurman fight, one round in the Spence fight, and he wins.
Yeah.
He's a round away in each fight. If he gets that one round against Bud, he wins. He's the champion. And then now he's playing ball because now he got the belt. All the belts are at PBC, every single one of them. And now you can go, oh, I already beat Ugas. Let's run that.
Yep.
Ugas feels like he didn't lose that fight. Cool, let's run it again. Yeah. Your title versus my title. Okay, now we're both going for Spence. Okay, now Spence, let's run it back. You got me with the flash knockdown. That was the difference. But now I'm two champs. So Porter, for just being, he's the Iron Man of this division. For being that, he can be set up for one hell of a close to his career. I'm not even saying it's going to be like a wrap, like he only got 2 years left. But this final chapter could be the best chapter of his career.
Yeah, it's the other thing is, Sean kind of makes you fight his fight.
Yeah,
he puts everybody he's in an uncomfortable position where you have to fight. Errol Spence couldn't use the jab like he did with Mikey Garcia and just keep him at a distance.
No.
He had Sean in his chest for 12 rounds. And I think for a lot of people, that's when we go, man, Errol could fight.
Yeah.
Because he had to fight. He couldn't box. You're in a fight, right? Danny Garcia couldn't deal with that pressure. He had a hard time. Keith Thurman, he had to fight. You have to fight him off.
Yeah.
It's a dog. You know, and a dog gets a bone and just won't let go, and you just keep hitting him, and the dog just clenches down harder. That's what Sean Porter is like. Terrence Crawford, as much as I like, Terrence Crawford's toughest fight to date in terms of name was Victor Postol.
Yeah.
And that was 6 years ago?
2016?
5 years ago.
Five.
Yeah, because that's the last person that went the distance with Terrence Crawford.
Yeah.
And Terrence has knocked everybody out since.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And Victor Postol, that was a fight where they fought at a distance.
Yeah, it was a chess match.
Yeah. Everybody else, Jeff Horn, Amir Khan, Terrence kind of fought his fight.
Yeah.
Jose Benavidez.
You step into close range with Terrence, you can hit him. We saw Mean Machine.
Yeah, Mean Machine hit him and, you know, arguably got a knockdown.
Yeah, you can hit him. But you're playing with fire. And yeah. Terrence likes that close range stuff. And this is going to be all close range.
This is going to be all in your chest. So there's a couple of interesting stats. Terrence has, I think, the second best plus minus of all boxers right now.
To Canelo?
Yes.
Okay.
Terrence makes is sense. Number two. I think he's like a plus like 13 and a half. Sean is a plus 0.1.
Wow.
Like, not one, 0.1. Which means that Sean ain't really hard to hit.
Nah, he gets hit.
Like, if you want to hit him, he's going to be there to be hit because he's coming for you. The problem is, can you put enough on your punches to make him respect you and not keep coming for you? I don't know.
But it's punches and bunches.
Yeah, I mean, a switch hitter?
Yeah. He can find many ways to hit you.
Mean?
You don't need all those. He's mean. That's his best quality.
Yeah.
He's mean.
He's mean. If he gets you in trouble, he's going to finish you.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're buddy-buddy. Yeah. They're friendly. And I don't think that's, you know, they're not hiding that. It's not a detriment. No. Like, cool. But at this point, Bud's still going to go in there trying to punch him in the face.
Yeah, they know what's on the line.
Yeah, and when they get in the ring, Bud is mean. Like, he wants to hurt you in the ring. And then he'll, like, you know, apologize to you after.
I mean, you know, for Sean, you could say, well, this is like the third time he's been in the biggest fight of his career.
Yeah.
Right? Like, every time Sean gets in the ring, it's like the biggest fight of his career. Not saying Terrence is not, but I think this is the first time that Terrence could say, this is the big, like, I can't lose this fight.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
Everything's on the line.
And Sean on the other side is also saying, I absolutely can't lose this fight. If I lose this fight, I'm a gatekeeper. It's over.
Yep. You lose this fight, then you're now fighting Boots. You're now fighting Virgil.
Yeah, they're putting people there. Those are the people you're fighting. If you win, you're back in title contention. You're a three-time welterweight champion. I don't know. It's one of the best fights that could be made this year.
Sean, I think, again, and his willingness to fight everyone. He's going to fight those young kids sooner or later anyway. That's just like his destiny in the sport.
Yeah.
And he's amazing, you know, outside of the ring, like on commentary and everything. Like, I think he's lined up for the next 20, 30 years of his life. But Bud, no. He absolutely can't lose this fight. He doesn't have, like, he's not going to the commentary booth. He doesn't have a parade of young people or people to bounce back against. And full disclosure, he's heading into free agency. You can't lose heading into free agency.
Nah, man.
No, like, whatever bag you thought you were going to get or that you've been owed or that you didn't get or you should be a pay-per-view star like Errol or, like, now the Tank is coming up on you. Damn near Teofimo is about to be a pay-per-view star. I don't know if that kid ever fights on normal ESPN again. And he's 20-something. You want to prove, like, yo, I'm into free agency, but I think it's 34. Like, the next 3 years, I'm cashing out. You can't lose this fight.
No, him and Sean are 30 days apart in age.
Oh, really?
Bud was born in September. Sean was born in October. Same year. They started their boxing careers 6 months apart.
Wow.
Everything is, like, super close with these two, except their styles.
Yeah.
Their styles are vastly different.
But now it's the turning point, right? Like, now it's like, okay, you guys have been on this parallel path, and then now it's, okay, one of us can take this lane.
Dude.
We can't run side by side anymore.
Terrence has, there's so much on the line, because you mentioned the bag, free agency. This could be, Terrence could almost damn near fall off the top 10 pound for pound list if he gets beat. Like, if he gets beat up by Sean Porter,
oh yeah,
he's out of here.
Yeah, I'm not sure he stays on the pound for pound.
No, list. But that's what I'm saying. It's like, Sean has been on this pound for pound list, on the Ring Magazine pound for pound list, maybe once, maybe twice, like the lower half. He's never been high on the list. But if you were to go out there and give Terrence Crawford hell, and let's just say he beats him 116, 112, 115, 113, Terrence falls precipitously, like down that list, because you have Inouye, Usyk, you have Tyson Fury, you have, there's so
many. Two undisputed champions.
Yeah, like you have Teofimo.
Taylor.
That's like you have, all, like no, Terrence falls.
Grasping to nine. And then, is he somewhere around Loma?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, well, where do you put him with Loma?
I don't put Loma at the end of mine anymore either. But, I mean, he got to be down there.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he has, his entire boxing career is on the line on Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, Sean has done everything that Sean could possibly do. Like, if he were to lose, he's expected to lose. He's the underdog. If he loses, you go, all right, well, he lost. We can move on. He'll fight Boots. He'll fight Virgil. He'll fight, there's all these people he can fight. He'll, whatever. Terrence loses, everything changes.
That's it. You hit free agency. You want to go to PBC? Because now they're really lowballing.
Yeah, well, yeah, like, they ain't paying for,
they're
going
to make you fight Virgil and Boots.
Yeah, they're not paying for a 33-year-old
33
to be old, right? Like, they're just you just lost to one of our guys. So, hey, take this lowball offer.
Yeah.
And Top Rank can say, hey, we'll sign you, but what are we saying? What are we paying for?
Yeah.
There's nobody for you to fight. You want to go back to 40?
Well, you fight Taylor.
I mean, does Taylor want to fight him anymore if he loses to Sean Porter?
That's a good question.
Terrence has so much pressure. It's pressure. He won't acknowledge it. That's what Terrence Crawford is. He won't acknowledge that it's there. But, dude, there is so much pressure on him in this fight.
He can't lose.
So how's this fight go?
I have Bud winning 116-112.
I have Bud winning a decision as well. I think it's really hard to predict this fight because I've never seen Bud get pressured by somebody like Sean Porter. So I don't know how he's going to react to it. But I think he'll make the proper adjustments to win late. I think he might end up down on the cards very early because Terrence is also a notoriously slow starter. Sean kind of isn't. Sean shows up and he's in your chest. So I think Terrence is going to have to do, he might give a couple rounds away, but he can't wait till round four to start. He's got to get started early. If he doesn't, he'll be down too many rounds.
He started slow in several fights.
He can't afford to do that because it gives Sean confidence and it puts Terrence in a hole. But I think Terrence will figure it out. If he has to go switch to southpaw or he has to go to orthodox, whatever adjustment he has to make, he's very underrated in his ring IQ. And what he has to do to create distance, what he has to do to land those punches. I'm going to pick him winning a split decision. I think there's going to be a lot of ugly rounds where Sean looks like he's outworking him, but Terrence might land the better punches. And I think we'll have like three or four swing rounds.
No, I think so, because you look at it and it's just, again, punches and bunches when Sean comes at you. So if they don't land or they don't land as crisp, Terrence, what he has to do is when he gets range, like the little pockets where he gets range, he has to really crush with jabs and punches to the body, because you got to score when you can.
Yeah.
Because Sean's going to be in your chest. It's going to be real hard to see who's winning that. So when you're at a distance, you have to hit him with your jab. You have to make it clear that, okay, I'm hitting him clean. And then when we're in fighting, we're going to go 50-50. But those jabs will win you the round at the end because you landed the clean punches at a distance. So he has to do that. And then there's going to be two rounds. You got to hurt Sean.
You have to. You have to really respect you.
I don't know if you're going to get him out of there. But you got to hit him with something where he'll, on CompuBox, will probably be like 20 to 21 punches to 14 landed. But Bud hurt him. Like, one of those right hands, like, wobbled him a bit. Cool, got him to take a step back. And you win that round even though you're down 7 punches. Those are the rounds you got to steal.
Here's the other thing. Sean, I hope that Sean doesn't think for 1 minute. He did this against, was it Familia? Well, he started boxing. And I was like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
That ain't you. Sean Porter has thrown 71.4% of his punches are power punches.
Yowzers.
Hooks, uppercuts, anything but a jab. 71% of his punches are power punches. In one of those fights, and I'm trying to remember which one it was, he was shooting the jab, and I was like, what is he doing? That's not your game.
Stop throwing the jab.
If you come out here trying to jab with Terrence Crawford, you jab with a, you can't hook with a hooker, you can't jab with a jabber. You can't do this with Terrence Crawford. You got to fight your fight, make Terrence fight your fight to have a chance to win. And you can't wait.
Can't. Got to be from the get-go.
I'm going to say it's either a split decision or majority decision for Terrence Crawford. If he stops him, I would be surprised.
Me too. I'd be shocked. And
if he stops him,
everything you need to
know. If he stops him, Errol, you have to fight him now. There's no question. Errol Spence has to fight Terrence Crawford.
And then the winner fights Ugas. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
Whatever, Ugas. Like,
yeah, yeah. I mean, they gave him a million mandatories.
Yeah, it's like, but who cares? But if you're Errol Spence and you're sitting at home and you watch a guy knock out a guy that you had hell with, you want a split decision, dog, nobody's, except for Kell Brook. Kell Brook is the only person that hit. I think he got a 118-110 scorecard against Sean Porter, which was wide, right?
Ridiculous. And I hated that fight.
Every other fight,
just held off.
Sean Porter has lost by a round or two.
Yep.
If Terrence Crawford is to stop him, Errol Spence better get on Twitter and be like, you're next. Let's unify these titles. He has to, unquestionably. So if you're at home watching this fight, I'm going to say this, and you'll see what I mean when I come back on Sunday. Pay very close attention to everything that happens on Sunday night. That's all I'm going to say. Just pay very close attention.
Interesting. And, I remember the last time you said this.
Yes, just pay close attention, man. It's
movement's moving.
Yeah, things is happening. Things are happening.
Wish I was famous like the old man over here.
I ain't famous. Just know if you listen to this podcast and you know what I do and what I have done, pay very close attention to Sunday night. If you see it, you'll know it. And then just at me. Just let me know. I see it. Just I'll be around.
Man, it's gonna be a fun one.
Yeah, so. this is I don't even care about the undercard, right? Like I
don't.
But if anybody at home, you should be paying for this fight. Like this is one of the best fights that could be put together this year.
I mean, the undercard set up for people to get knocked out. Like if we're just keeping it a buck. Like it's not like, oh my god, these are great matchups or it's a title. No, the undercard, if you're paying for the fight, expect three knockouts and then Terrence Crawford.
Yeah, I'm gonna be watching UFC on my computer. I'll probably watch Impact's Turning Point until the main event. Impact's Turning Point is this weekend. I'll probably be watching those. Like I don't really care, but this main event, it's the goods, man.
It is. So we appreciate you all for listening as always. On Sunday, we've been having the live streams. We won't live stream our podcast on Sunday because we will have a WWE Survivor Series watch party streaming. We'll be here at Blue Wire Studios, chilling, chopping it up. Talking Producer reckless. Cole Baby setting it all up for us. It is going to be a blast. So if you guys are hanging out watching pro wrestling on Sunday, join us. Just hop on to the Corner Podcast Twitter page, and you'll see the little live stream there. I'll be in the chat. The old man will pull it up on his phone. We'll be talking spicy.
Yeah. Whole thing. For those of you who watch the live stream, this will be our first watch along. This will be something completely new. Like we're Blue Wire's like Crash Test Dummies. Like they're just trying everything on us. So, but if you add us, ask us questions, we'll answer them.
Yeah. Because
we're going to be watching this. Unfortunately, I'm not drinking, so I can't be drunk. Kel probably be 3 sheets to the wind.
By the end of this, I am going to be stupid drunk. Do not fire me, Blue Wire. I mean, listen, we've all watched a WWE pay-per-view. You want me to be sober during this? Like, it's not AEW.
It's asking a lot. Yeah, I can't believe I'm doing this.
The pacing, I think, I don't know, there's like a Dewdrop match, I think.
Is there?
I think she's like hunting down the champion.
She's been beefing with Bianca. I don't know.
With Bianca. It might be on the pre-show, so maybe but I'm just saying, there's like a lot of time for me to refill my drink.
It's a lot on this card. It's a lot to watch, but we will be seeing.
Yes, some pizza, some guests. It's going to be fun.
It is really going to be fun. So
it'll be a chill environment.
It'll be the first time us trying it, so please join us for that. You kind of just made me say I have to do it because before this podcast, I was like, maybe I'll do it, but now I have to.
We're locked in.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do some more of these, and we'll figure out ways to be more interactive with you guys that listen and watch along with us. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, and it's trial and error, but I feel like there's going to be no error. We're going to have a blast. It's going to be fun to all watch pay-per-view together and chop it up and talk pro wrestling, which you guys wanted, and you made your voice heard. So we're finding creative ways to give you great wrestling content as well with, partnering Blue Wire, and they're very open to these things. So we appreciate the platform there. In the meantime, make sure you guys follow us on social media at @CornerPodcast_ on Twitter. That's where you find the live stream, at Corner Club for Life on Instagram. Me at Kel Dansby, him at Andreas Hale. Usually this is where we would end the show, and you'd be like, oh, okay, man, I got to wait until the weekend to have another show. Well, there's a bonus at the end of this. We have a guest, Terrence McKinney from the UFC. He fights this weekend, and we're like, you know what? Even though it's our boxing show, Terrence, join us. Call in. Let's chop it up. He has one of the best UFC debuts, I think, in history, 7-second knockout. On his last fight, which was his first fight in the UFC. So can he top that? How does he feel going into this weekend? We chop it up. He has an amazing story on how he grew up. Tons to talk about with Terrence.
The man died twice of a drug overdose.
Died
twice of a drug overdose and started his MMA career. So
yeah. I mean, the guy is a fighter through and through. So stay with us. You guys get that interview after this. All right, the latest guest on the Corner Podcast with myself and Andreas Hale, UFC's Terrence McKinney in the building. Big fight coming up this weekend in Vegas. Terrence, man, thank you for taking time out and joining us. I know during fight week it gets like a little crazy. the weight cut, all this stuff. You're in the hotel room right now. So taking time out to speak with us, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, the pleasure's all mine, man. I'm excited to get talking with you guys.
Terrence, before I start, man, I need to ask you this question. I need you to give me an honest answer. How the hell are you the underdog against Ferris this weekend?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but my homies play some bet, more money in their pocket, so we're liking the vibes. We like the energy.
Okay. So for those who don't know, Terrence McKinney made his promotional debut, UFC 263, 7-second knockout. It's a record. He comes to this fight this weekend against Ferris Aim, and he ends up as the underdog. And I don't know what kind of crack they're smoking to make a guy who gets a record-breaking knockout to be an underdog. But I guess the point is that you got to prove him wrong again, right? You got to prove it's no fluke.
Yeah, that's my favorite part, man. You know, I'm about to show them this isn't a fluke. And I've really been doing this since the beginning.
Is there any added pressure coming off of a performance like that, right? So it's like the fastest knockout in UFC history. So you go.
There's no pressure at all. You know, my job is just to win at the end of the day. And I learned that through wrestling, you know. And as long as I come out there and put my heart and soul out there, there's nothing for me to be ashamed of. I got nothing to prove to them. I'm doing this for me, my family. So at the end of the day, as long as I get a win, no matter if that's by decision or submission, I'm going to be grateful to God for it, you know, because I ain't never had this kind of money before in my life. So I'm going to be grateful regardless if it's first round or third round.
I got to ask you, because you just mentioned that the money, you won a performance of the night bonus. What's the first thing you did with that money?
I didn't get the full bonus. Got like $10,000, but I went and paid off all my school and court debt.
Wait. Why didn't you get the full bonus?
I don't know, but it is what it is.
I mean, this is that card.
I got like an unofficial bonus.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So you go out this weekend. You're one of, again, people are looking at your fight like, man, we got to see this kid again. If you get the 50K, the full 50K, this fight, what are you doing?
Make some wise investment in some crypto companies. I'm already talked to some partners we've been studying, and just get that residual income. That's what we're looking to do.
All right. So, Terrence, you got an amazing story. And you've had the opportunity. I know you've been telling it, and I hope you're not tired of telling it because you've been through a lot. How you clinically died twice before you've gotten to this point. And your story is inspirational to a lot of people. But can you tell me this? Because if, for whatever reason, what didn't happen, would you be an MMA fighter?
Yeah, or a wrestler, doesn't matter. I just love to compete, to be honest with you guys. Like, I do this because, like, I really love seeing if I'm a savage like I said I am. You know, I always thought I was like, you know, I always had, like, that alpha male in me, like, what's up? We can get it right now. We homies, we can go box in the backyard. Always just been that kind of guy, you know? And this is my chance to prove it to the world I'm that guy. And so it's just been a fun ride.
With everything that you've been through, I don't want to say like you're kind of playing with house money, but does it help you like going into the fight, staying calm? Like we hear a lot of stories where people are like, I've been through so much in life. I fear nothing in the octagon. Like there's nothing you can do to me in the octagon that I'm scared of, and you go in there with a different level of comfort and just understanding like, yeah, I'm just in here to compete where other people may be scared or nervous. Do you use all of what you've been through kind of as motivation going forward when you fight?
Yes. And mostly what my mom went through, you know, growing up in the street, Chicago, like I just feel like it's disrespect to her if I quit or give up or anything like that. Like my mom went through so much and she could have easily gave up. She never gave up on me or anyone. Like when my mom was getting her hand broken with the bat by the gang because I was looking at the window, she didn't even cry, you know, because I was looking out the window and she was getting her hand beat with the bat by the gang who so-called loved her, you know what I'm saying? So, like, if my mom can do that, like, I refuse to disrespect the hard work and the sacrifice she's made being soft out here. Like, I'm ready to die for my dream, you know? Mom took care of my whole life, so I'm going to make sure her house is paid off before I do anything, you know? That's just what real dudes do, you know?
Take us back, because those who are listening may not necessarily know your story. And you were a wrestler. It seems like you were on the course to become a wrestler, go to college for wrestling, and your life took a turn. Can you kind of walk us through what happened?
I knew this was possible. I just had to make the necessary adjustment, really, really look at my life and just give it to God. Like, obviously, I'm doing this for a reason, to block something out, you know. I went to counseling. I did the things I really didn't want to do, but I knew it was a must, and I'm just grateful to God to be on the winning side again.
You mentioned growing up in Chicago and how tough it was and watch your mother. What was it like for you in terms of, you know, your wrestling, and obviously sports is such a good way to kind of detach yourself from what's going on in your environment, but how much did growing up in Chicago and growing up how you did, how much did that toughen you up and get you to where you are now?
Toughen me up, you know, and just like as I get older, I really realized like I was mad my mom could have been around, but we couldn't have had the things that we got today if she didn't do that. Like, because I had to live in Lionsville, Alabama growing up with my grandma, and then she had 11 kids there, so like, and they're all big as hell, and we all fought, and it was, and I was the run of the group, so I had to get tough, you know? I had no choice.
When did you first realize that you could fight?
Honestly, even when I lost my fights growing up to my uncles, I still loved it, you know?
Wait, and so I was you like, fought right, your uncles?
I was like, wait. And every time I had, I was like, wait till I get older. Ain't none of you guys going to be able to mess with me. I'll tell you every time, just wait. Wait. So I'm gonna make sure I'm able to kick all you guys' butt. Just watch.
So you wait. How did you end up fighting your uncles? Like, usually you fight your siblings. You were fighting your uncles?
Yeah, I live with my uncles and aunties. Yeah, and my cousin.
Just throwing hands with anybody.
Yeah. Nah, we all fought growing up. That, you know how siblings be, you know.
Yeah.
And a couple of us were the same size of clothes. You know how that goes. Getting mixed up with all everyone that's living there. You know. Something's bound to pop off. Too many heads, you know.
You're on a four-fight winning streak now, including your UFC debut. Do you feel like something just clicked? Do you feel like you're in your prime now, and like that light switch just went off, and then you're ready to just be the best you now? Do you feel like, okay, now I'm getting comfortable in the sport of MMA, and you're ready to go forward and be even better than what we've seen already?
I think what it was is just taking those two losses so I could humble myself. And I knew what I had to do, you know. I got to give God the glory, you know, or he'll humble us himself, you know. You know, God works in mysterious ways, you know. And I peeped the signs, and I knew what I had to do. And I knew what God called me to do, you know, with my story. He gave me this platform to bring people to him, help people heal. So, like, I knew what time it was, and, you know. And I think I'm in the UFC at the perfect time, like, mentally, physically, like, I think everything happened for a reason, and I'm excited to see where this journey goes.
All right, so if you get let's just say you get a knockout victory, right? If you get another one, you ain't flipping off cages anymore, are you? What's the celebration this time?
We got a few tricks in the bag, but you guys just have to wait to see, but We're definitely getting this man out of here the first round, mark my word.
So it's going to be a first-round knockout. So, but I want to go back to that first knockout. What made you do a flip off the cage? Was that something that you just usually did?
No, I was just caught in the moment. Honestly, I felt like Superman. Like, honestly, I thought I was about to start flying. I wasn't even focused on landing back on the ground. I was in the moment. I was like, Jesus, take the wheel. This can't be real.
Listen, I ain't backflipping off of nothing, so I give you an A for effort. You will not catch me backflipping off of anything. No, we appreciate you joining us, man. Best of luck to you this week, and we'll be watching, always entertaining. Look forward to not just this weekend, but your entire UFC run. Nothing but the best to you. Bright future ahead of you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys. The pleasure of mine, and God bless, man. Hope you guys see everything you want to see this year.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, bro. Take it easy.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.